Thank you, Melissa and Amber and Phil. That was an encouragement I needed. It's good to hear that we're here to worship a holy God despite what is happening or what isn't happening in the world around us, that we still worship a holy God. The reason I'm standing here and not Tina to read the scripture is because I've decided to change the message a little bit, and it's not based on that scripture anymore. And so Tina was just heartbroken that she didn't have to come up here and read. So she's still on the hook. We'll get her to read next time. But most of you know that this last week I was out of town. Wasn't really on vacation. I was out of town. Along with Dave and Aldina, we are at our church's national convention in Kansas City that started on Tuesday. And it's actually still happening right now. I cut out early so I could be here this morning with you guys. I missed last Sunday. I didn't really want to miss two Sundays in a row, so I'm here. So you guys are on the cutting edge of the church because you get an update on what happened in Kansas City before everyone else did, because most of the people are still there. And so this morning, just as I was preparing for the message and thinking about through the week, thinking that I'm preaching on Sunday, I thought, well, all these things are going through my mind. I think I'll just preach on what happened to Kansas City, and we'll just push back the last and final love language, which is touch, till next week. So we're going to just continue that break. I know last week Matthew didn't talk about love languages either. So that'll be next week. And this morning, just want to talk about our denomination, who we are, where we are, and kind of what's transpired in the last, specifically 5 days, in the last couple of years, and just bring us all up to speed on that. And you may be thinking, well, that's not appropriate for a sermon. We should be getting some teaching on the Word. And I think this is applicable to us. It's something we need to know. But also, sometimes there's things that you maybe would rather not sit and learn about. I'm sure every student, not everyone, some people really love government class in high school, and you think it's boring, and why do you want to learn it? Well, the reason you learn it is so you can be a good citizen of the country, and you can understand your role in the country, and you have to be educated and informed in order to be a citizen. And all of us, as part of the broader Mennonite church, we need to be educated and informed in order to know what we're a part of. You may say ignorance is bliss, and the less I know, the better. I just want to be happy here. And I would kind of like that as well. But we are a part of a broader denomination, and I think it's important for us to be aware of that and to know what good things come from that and what bad things come from that as well. And so this morning, we're spending some time dwelling in that. But that's open with prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with my brothers and sisters at Crown Hill. Thank you for the ability to worship you in song. I thank you for all the things that are happening here at Crown Hill. And Lord, as we dive into this message that is not a traditional exposition of your word, but it is looking at your church. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom and the words to speak. And Lord, I pray that you would give us an open ear because your message is in here. Lord, your body is what you've chosen to do your work here on earth. And so we have a task, both here at Crown Hill, but also broader in the Ohio Conference and the Mennonite Church USA. And Lord, you've called us, and you've sent us, and you've chosen us to do your work. And so, Lord, I pray that we can learn what your work is and apply that and do it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to give a background. I know for some this may be brand new, and for some this may be something that you've been immersed in your whole life. But we are a part of a denomination that's called Mennonite Church USA. Now, there are many different Mennonite churches around. The folks across the street are Mennonites. They run the store, and you notice they dress a little bit different than us. They drive a little different color cars than us. Well, I guess not all of us, but all their cars are black. They're Mennonite. So we are, in a sense, in the same denomination, but they're not in the same denomination that we are. They are a different striation of Mennonite, and that's not new to you guys. You know that we're a little different. So the specific Mennonite church that we're a part of is called Mennonite Church USA. If you guys drive through Apple Creek, you'll see there's Fairlawn Mennonite. They're also a Mennonite church, but they're part of a conservative conference of the Mennonite church. So they're not part of Mennonite Church USA. So there are, especially in this area, Wayne Holmes County, there's just Mennonite churches all over the place. And so there are the majority of churches that we know of are part of the Mennonite Church USA. So, Orville Mennonite, Crown Hill, the churches in Kidron, Sunnyburg, Salem, Kidron there, Chestnut Ridge, all those churches are part of the same denomination we are. And so just a little makeup of that denomination. So I don't know the exact number of churches in Mennonite Church USA, but it's pretty big. I think they said that we are made up of roughly 100,000 people. So that's about how big we are, which in the world of church denominations, that's not real big. We're not a part of a very large denomination. You know, the Methodists or Presbyterians or Catholics, I mean, they're way bigger. They're up in the millions. We're 100,000, so we're not real a big denomination, but we're big enough to get thick in the middle. So a couple things of, okay, what is Mennonite Church USA then? We're 100,000 people. Basically, what makes up Mennonite Church USA is that there are 21 different conferences. There's 21 different conferences that make up the denomination, and we are a part of Ohio Conference. And so there's 21 different, and they're all basically geographic. So Ohio Conference, most churches in Ohio are part of Ohio Conference. There's a Virginia Conference, so most churches in Virginia are Virginia Conference. There's like a Western District Conference, and that spans more than one state. It's Oregon and Washington and California, and so it's not based on the state, but that's what it is. And so there's 21 of us pretty much all in the United States, and those 21 conferences make up Mennonite Church USA. And amongst the whole denomination then, there are different agencies that support these different conferences. So there's something called Mennonite Education Agency, MEA, and that's what operates all the schools. So you may have heard of Bluffton University and Goshen College and Heston College and EMU, Eastern Mennonite University, and Bethel College. Those are the Mennonite colleges. So some of you may have graduated from some of those. You may notice little blurbs in our bulletin about those sometimes. Those are operated by the denomination, as are our church schools. Then there's a mission network that is our mission agency of our denomination. That's known as Mennonite Mission Network, or MMN. And so you'll see in our bulletin, you know, we usually have prayer requests from our mission network. So we may not always know those missionaries, but they are from our denomination and supported by our denomination. So that's why we choose them to pray for, when there could be any one of thousands of missionaries that we could choose to pray for. And so there's different things. Now, if you're not confused yet, I'll just confuse you a little bit more. Last week you had a guest speaker, Matthew, who works with MCC. Now, just a little bit of, MCC is not officially affiliated with Mennonite Church USA. So MCC is like a third-party agency. So they're not really underneath the umbrella. MCC wasn't at the convention that we were at this past week. And so that means that there's more churches than just Mennonite Church USA that feeds in to MCC. If you go down the street, go through Smithville, and there's the Church of the Brethren right in the square there in Smithville. If you go inside there, you can find there's MCC brochures in that church, because they also support MCC. So it's not a specific Mennonite Church USA agency. So that's just a little background of what we are a part of. And so we experience that most closely in Ohio Conference. We are a part of Ohio Conference. Ohio Conference has about 70 congregations. And most of the churches in our area, Smithville Mennonite, Oroville, the churches that we've been processing with about how we can do more things together, all of those churches are a part of Ohio Conference. So we have that camaraderie. We're within the same denomination, and you know, we have the same goals, hopefully. And so that's how we experience the denomination, mostly is through the conferences that we're a part of. Now, what happened last week? Just a little bit of a lead up to last week. So every 2 years then, all these people get together. You know, all 21 conferences, all the different agencies, and everything that's made up of the denomination gets together for a week, and there's worship, and there's also business that gets done. And so we have delegates. Dave and Aldina are actually still there, and they'll be driving back. They were delegates from Crown Hill, and I was there as well. But I was actually there wearing my Ohio Conference hat, because I'm on the Ohio Conference leadership team. And so there's delegates from every church, there's delegates from every conference, and they're there, and they do business. Now, some of the recent history within Mennonite Church USA is there's basically been a development of more or less two churches developing within one denomination. And this is sad. And it's the reality that our church is just reflecting the basic culture of what we look at. We have a very progressive end of our church, and we have a conservative end of our church. Just like our conference or our Congress doesn't tend to get along, and they don't tend to talk with each other, and they don't tend to be able to pass things together, our church has been smitten with basically the same thing, where we have the progressive end and we have the conservative end, and they're struggling to talk together, they're struggling to work together, and they're struggling to get things done because of our differences. And then the most recent thing, this has been circling around the issue of homosexuality. The very progressive end of the church is really pushing hard and campaigning and being active and saying that the Mennonite Church USA needs to be a fully inclusive denomination, where we need to be a denomination where pastors can officiate gay marriages, where pastors that are in a homosexual relationship can be pastors within the church. And that end of the church is pushing that hard and saying, this is who we need to be. This is the vision of the future of our church that we want to see. And then there's the other traditional side of the coin that's saying, no, that's not how we read the scriptures. We don't want to go that way. We don't think that's what the church should look like. And it's led to quite a bit of tension. And it's difficult to figure out how we relate together as a denomination when there's basically these two very different entities. And so that's kind of what led up to the convention. So let me just say a little bit more about background. This goes even back further than just the recent history that we're dealing with right now, is that Mennonites, we are congregational. So what does that mean? We're congregational. That means that basically us, our congregation, is where we have said is that the ultimate authority lies. Well, the ultimate authority lies here in the Word, with the Scripture, and with Christ. But we say the congregation is where we decide how that gets played out. So we're congregational. So we have conferences, and we have a denomination, and they're helpful, and they help us out. But ultimately, we get to decide. You know, years ago, when you guys wanted to start the Crown Hill Food Pantry, you didn't go to the denomination and ask for permission. When you wanted to buy the manor building, you didn't go to the denomination and ask permission to do that. You as a congregation discerned and said, this is something we feel is important to do, that God is calling us to do, and we're going to do it. And you did it. And the conference, I mean, didn't say anything. I mean, they didn't say, well, you shouldn't spend your money that way. They're there to support you and help you out, and they're there as a background. And so that's all good. If you compare that to, like, you know, a Catholic church or a Methodist church or some other denominations, you know, they don't have the liberty to make those decisions. There would be, you know, more of a hierarchy and up and down that would decide whether things like that could happen. So we might be thinking, okay, that's good. You know, we have freedom to do some of these things. If we feel called to do a ministry, we can do them, which is great. Well, the flip side of that coin is when you feel called to do something that maybe the other churches don't agree with. And so that's where the whole homosexuality issue comes up. With one church says, well, we feel called that we should be able to marry this couple, even though it's the same-sex couple. And so you run up to this issue of, well, if they're congregational, if we're congregational, who's to tell them that they can't? Well, we disagree that you should be able to do that, but we don't have the authority to tell them that they can't. And so that's where we this whole, like, where are we at? What are we going to do? This issue that we're at. And so that's kind of how the church is designed to work, is congregational. And congregational is great when everyone gets along, but when not everyone gets along, then it becomes a point of, okay, who's actually in charge and who can regulate this thing. So that's where we're at. And so let me just give you a little snapshot of what happened these last 5 days. One thing, you know, on the bright side, part of what happens at these conventions is a youth convention. And so there's thousands of youth that come there from all over the denomination. They don't have to deal with making decisions in the business end of it. They're there to worship, and they have workshops, and they have fun. And so that was good to see the youth there and participating in doing that. So that was a good thing that was happening. Now, on the business end, I was a delegate. Dave and Aldina were a delegate. There were about 850 delegates, they said, that were there from all over the country. And there were five different resolutions that were brought to the floor. And the delegates were voted on them in the attempt to set the direction of the denomination. So there were three resolutions that didn't have to do with the issue of homosexuality, that were different issues that weren't quite as contentious. The first was, there is an issue is called about the issue of unending warfare. And this resolution basically stated that since 2001, I believe, 2002, the United States has been officially at war continuously. And they're saying it's a different policy of war than we had back in the day, where you would actually have to declare war on a country and Congress would have to approve it, and then we would send and deploy troops. Whereas now we're at a different spot where Congress doesn't have to approve of the war declaration. We're in continuous war, and we don't no longer have to deploy troops. We can just deploy drones. And so this is basically a call to our government and say this is a very slippery slope. When you don't have to deploy troops, when you don't have to send people there, it becomes much harder to have a filter. Whereas if there's, you know, Mennonites are pacifist as a whole, but even that's not what this resolution was saying. It wasn't even saying that, you know, U.S. should never do war. That wasn't what the resolution was saying. It was actually saying, hey, it's actually, if we're talking about things, it's actually better if there are people on the ground, because then you have human beings making decisions, and it's harder to pull a trigger when you see a person than it is to push a button when you're in Washington on a video controller and a drone is across the sea and you don't really see the effects of it. And so that was more saying, hey, we need to evaluate our current practices, because we have much less accountability. Congress isn't even involved. The drone warfare seems to be escalating, and that's kind of a scary place to be in. So that was one of the resolutions. Another one was on Israel and Palestine. It's basically a statement that, again, this is a little bit more of a political statement that said, hey, the issue in Israel and Palestine with the Israeli government just doing a lot of destructive things to the Palestinian settlements, and the Palestinians with the response with the rocket launching. So it was kind of a statement saying, hey, we want to work towards peace in the Middle East. Again, that was a little bit more political. Another one had to do with a policy, a denominational policy on sexual abuse, and this is something that the Crown Hill is actually working on, a child protection plan that we want to have in place. And so, you know, it talks about having all teachers and people involved with children having a background check, and things like that. So this is putting safeguards in place and educating our denomination on how to operate in a world where these issues are very real and they're close to home, and we don't want to think about it, but we need to think about it. And so Crown Hill is already on that path of adopting a child protection plan. So those were the three issues that weren't really related to the homosexuality thing. And then we had two issues, two resolutions that had to do with homosexuality specifically. The first one was called a resolution for forbearance. And this was basically the resolution was proposed to the delegates and saying that we want to forbear with everyone. And so forbearance basically means we want to be patient and we want to wait and we want to walk together. And so that was the issue. It wasn't saying we believe this way to be true and biblical or this way to be true and biblical. It wasn't making any statement about what is right or what is wrong. It was just a statement to say we want to forbear together. And I was not comfortable with that statement. I voted no for that. And the reason is because I don't think I would want clarity. I want us to make a statement. I want the congregation to or the denomination to say, hey, this is where we stand. And even if the denomination would take a stance on the liberal side, I think that would give us more clarity. And then we could say, oh, okay, that's where you're at the denomination. And we need to discern whether we want to be a part of that. And if you make a stance on the conservative side, oh, okay, well, that resonates a little bit more with Crown Hill. But the forbearance one was this kind of, let's keep walking together. And see how we can live together. And the last 2 years has shown that we're not too good at living together like this. There's been churches that have been leaving the denomination. There's been people that are upset. There's people that are hurt. It's a difficult time for the denomination, and I don't see the forbearance resolution helping that. But despite my one vote, it did pass. And so I was pretty bad on the voting end here. A lot of things I voted for didn't pass. Anyways. So that was the one forbearance. And the other one, now this is why a lot of people, a couple of you guys have asked me, so what happened? Like, I'm not quite sure what happened there, because so the forbearance one was this, like, hey, we're going to walk together, we're going to do this. And then the other thing we voted on was an affirmation of our membership guidelines. Okay, that's a mouthful. Basically, the Mennonite Church has a policy of membership guidelines, and it says this is the policy. If you want to be a member of church, of Mennonite Church USA, you follow these guidelines. And so the guidelines lay out pretty clearly, and it has a clear and what I would say pretty biblical stance on homosexuality. It says that we will not perform same-sex marriages, and we won't license or ordain ministers that are in a same-sex relationship and things like that. So that's what the guidelines say. But then in the resolution, It said that each congregation has the ability to interpret these guidelines however they want. And so we kind of made a stance, but then we said part of the resolution is you can interpret this the best you want in your own context. And that passed by 58%, so a much lower margin. And so we're kind of at a point where it's like, where are we? What does this mean? And so this week didn't really help clarify that. So I'm still trying to kind of debrief in my mind what all that means. So let's bring this home a little bit more. I think most of you are aware that Keith Hoseller and myself are both on the Ohio Conference leadership team. We're two of five people, so we as Crown Hill have a very large voice in proportion to the rest. I mean, there's 77 churches, I think it's 77, in our conference, and there's two of the five leaders are from one church, so yay Crown Hill. And so that's Keith and I have a responsibility then of deciding, okay, where do we, as a conference, how do we respond to that? And so we do covet your prayers because Ohio Conference has basically four full-time employees. One is administrative and three are ministry staff. So there's basically three pastors employed by Ohio Conference, and they're supposed to be pastors to the pastors. So like, they're my pastor. If I have an issue, if one of you guys are really getting on my nerves, I call up and I say, hey, what do I do with this person? They won't stop doing this. That's a joke, okay? I haven't had to do that yet. But if that would arise, that's who I would call. So they're kind of supposed to be the pastors to the pastors. So in the last 3 months, two of those three pastors have resigned, and so we're left with one ministry staff. And so we have some hiring to do, but we also have this response to Kansas City to do. And we've had churches in Ohio Conference that have started to leave Ohio Conference and leave the denomination. And so we're at a spot now where we have some big decisions to make as Ohio Conference of what direction will we go? Who will we hire to replace these staff people? And what direction will these staff people lead us in, and what will their role be? And so it's kind of a crazy time. It's an exciting time. And one of the workshops I went to out there, and it was a speaker, and it was one thing I took away from it, and it was a quote I wrote down. He said, "Never waste a good crisis. Never waste a good crisis." And I think our denomination is at a crisis point, and our conference is at a crisis point, and we don't want to waste that. That's a point. This is the time where we can decide our future, where we can decide a direction, we can work towards something, we can work together. I think it's so. There's a lot of potential here, and that's why I think I covet Keith and I and all the conference need your prayers, because with this opportunity we have, you know, this we can move forward, we could grow, we could do some exciting things, we could start doing some outreach and some mission that God has called us as the church to do if we start getting over some of these hurdles, and so I'm excited towards that end, and keep praying for us about that. So what's the point? Okay, why do I tell you all this? A couple reasons. One is you're all a part of this. Okay, you sit in these pews. You come to Crown Hill. This is a part of who you are. Now a lot of times I realize you'd say I'd rather not be a part of this. A lot of times you say I want to be a part of this and I want to see it changed. Or a lot of people have a lot of history in this and say this is you know who we are. So you know I think it's important that we know kind of who we are. That this helps define us. That this is who we came from. This is the context that we operate in. And so in one sense you come to Crown Hill on a Sunday morning and we worship and we sing and we hear the word and we have Sunday school. In one sense none of this affects us, but in another sense it affects us a lot. Most of the pastors you've hired, how did they get here? It was through Ohio Conference. It was through the networks that we have in the denomination to bring pastors here. The materials we have for Sunday school and things like that, the resources we have available, a lot of that comes through the conference. So, I mean, we are not an independent church. We're not an independent congregation. Even though we're congregational, we're not our own. So we need to be aware. We need to be educated. We need to be informed. So we know the decisions that we make. Secondly, I think God works in surprising ways. I don't think, I know. God does work in surprising ways, and He works in ways and with people that we would least expect. And so one of the reasons that I decided to actually take the sermon, the message time, to talk about this is that God might be calling one of you to help us in the process ahead. Now, I don't know exactly what the process ahead is. I don't know how it's going to take shape or where it might go. But one of you guys might be involved in that, or two of you guys, or someone in this room right now might be feeling the call and saying, I had no idea what Mennonite Church USA really was before this. But now that I'm hearing this and I'm hearing the crisis that we're in, I'm feeling a call and I want to help. I want to be a part of it. I want to help bring some revival. I want to help bring some renewal. I want to help change the direction. I want to do something. And that might be one of you guys, and you guys might be one of the people that God is using to set a direction for our conference and for our denomination. And so I think you need to know, because you need to know what the needs are before you know how you can help. And so if pray about this. Pray for us and pray about it. And if you think, man, I have a gift or an ability, or I don't have a gift or ability, but I think God is calling me to do something, and I don't know what it is, come talk to me. Because I think this is an important work. And then the last reason why I took time to talk about this morning is it really makes us wrestle with the question of what is the church? What is the church? We know throughout Scripture that the church is very important. Paul writes about in Ephesians that we are the body of Christ. We're held together. Every ligament and sinew, every little tendon in the body is the church. Even Crown Hill, amongst this 100,000 person denomination, we're a little tendon, we're a little sinew, but we are part of that church. What does it mean to be church together? What does it mean to be in the same denomination as someone that we radically disagree with in our view of Scripture? What does it mean to sit in the pew next to someone that you disagree with? And it's really, now if you're waiting for questions here, I'm just going to give you a heads up right now. I haven't figured this out yet, okay? I just got off the plane last night. I'm just thinking out loud for you guys, which is dangerous. That's what they teach you not to do. What does it mean to be the church? And I thought of different relationships, and this is how I'm starting to process it in my mind. Different relationships that we have. And I thought of four different relationships that most of us have on a regular basis. The relationship of a family, relationship of a friend, the relationship of a consumer, and a relationship of business. So those are the four, and let me just walk through those a little bit. There's a family relationship. And so the family relationship is something that you are born into. And you have no choice about it, okay? I've heard it said you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family. You have no choice about your family. And the interesting thing about the family is even if you disagree, even if you hate that person, even if this person hurts you, steals from you, cheats you, does whatever else and moves the other side of the world, and you never hear from them ever, they're still your family. If you have a brother that you haven't talked to in 50 years and you don't even know if he's alive or not, he's still your brother. You may not be friends with him, you may not like him, you may not talk to him, but he's still your brother. So we have these family relationships that you know, you don't have a choice in, you can't change them no matter how much you want to. And then you have friendships. And friendships are based off of kind of a mutual, you get to know each other, you have a choice in it, you invest in it, and it's reciprocal, and friends can change. So like a brother will never stop being your brother. A friend can stop being your friend. You know, and it could be good or bad. I mean, they move away and you don't talk to them. You just don't know them as much. And, you know, you might still, oh yeah, they were my friend once and I don't dislike them. I just never talk to them now. They're a different place in life, different place in the world, and I don't see them. And so they're not really my friend anymore. And then there's also ways that friendships are broken through negative things of broken trust and other things. So friendships can change. But, you know, friends are friends, and, you know, we know how to get that. Another relationship is a consumer relationship. And this is what you have when you go to a store. It's a consumer relationship. It's all just about an exchange of goods. It's, you know, you have $10, you buy what you need, you give them the $10, you get what you back, get it back. That's just it's consumer. There's actually no real relational thing there. It's just an exchange of goods. And the last is a business relationship where there's a contract involved. You sign in the bottom line. If you're buying a house or if you're making a negotiation, you sign. He said, these are the rules that you will abide by. And the second you break one of these rules, you're no longer within the contract. The contract is broken and nothing, you know, exists. You know, the contract is broken and you pay the penalty. And I've been thinking about all these in relation to the church. And that's something that came up last week quite a bit. They said, we're a family. We're a family. And I'm thinking, the church is a family, the family of God. But they were using family in the sense that once you're someone's brother, you're always someone's brother no matter what. And I don't think that's necessarily true of the church. Because someone can choose to follow Christ and they become your brother in Christ. But if they choose to stop following Christ, and okay, I don't want to get into the whole once saved, always saved argument. That's not where I'm going here. But if they choose to not follow Christ any longer, are they still your brother? If they fall off the wagon and they stop practicing Christian practices and they stop becoming a Christian, are they still a brother? I think a church family should be very close and should be, I think, even closer than a nuclear family, because we are here by choice and we're investing into each other and we love each other for who each other is. And even though a brother can be on the other side of the world and hate your guts, he's still your brother. But in the church, we're here because of choice. So I don't think the family is the best understanding of church, even though when we are together, we are a family. But the idea that we can't stop being a family, I'm not sure. With a friend, I mean, we should have friendships within the church. But the church isn't just a social club. We're not here because we like each other. Okay, we're not all here because, like, these are the coolest people we could find to hang out with on a Sunday morning. Okay, we're looking for the best and the most fun group. Okay, you know, I like hanging out with you guys, but you know, you probably all, that's not why you're here. This is not friend. It's not just about friendship. It's not a social club. Okay, if that was the case, you'd probably find it here, but you'd find it somewhere else too. There's a lot of groups of friends that have nothing to do with Jesus, that have nothing to do with worshiping like what we've been doing this morning. And so the church isn't just friendships. Now, the church is a consumer relationship. The church shouldn't be consuming either. And that's kind of the big thing in North America right now is the consumer relationship with the church. That if what you want, you're not getting, you go somewhere else, you shop around until you can find it. Until you find what best fits your needs, and then you go get it. Or this is the contractual approach, the business approach, that as soon as a church does something that you think is out of line, that is out of your idea of what the contract is, you break relationship right away and you find somewhere else that you can have a better business contract with. So those ideas of relationship, I don't think any of them really define the church. Where I've settled in the last 12 hours is that the church is a covenantal community. We are here because of covenant relationships. And that's found throughout the Scripture. I could have had you read a long Abrahamic covenant, you know, blessings and curses. We're here because we're a covenantal people. And a covenant involves both rules, like a contract, and it involves relationships, like friendships and family. A covenant is both of those things. And I think the best way that we can understand those things is through a marriage covenant. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is not a business contract. You don't sign in the bottom line and say, oh, the business is done, we're married. There's a very important relationship aspect that's involved there. But there is a signature, and there are rules, and there are boundaries within a marriage. And there are, and just like in the Bible, whenever God made a covenant with His people, there were blessings and there were curses. He said, blessed will you be if you follow these laws. And if you don't, you will be cursed. So there is certainly a contractual element to it. But it's also very, very relational. It's always based on grace. That there will be love and there will be a relationship. And that there will be, we were going to work through this together. Just like in a marriage, if your spouse does something wrong, you don't automatically break your covenant with that spouse. You work, you forgive, you extend grace, and you work together. And there's always a debate in the church as to at what point is the marriage covenant legally or legitimately able to be broken. And Jesus does give some grounds for when a marriage covenant can be broken. Now, bringing this all back, we can all think about this individually. And I hope we are all in a covenantal relationship with Crown Hill. Unless you're a guest this morning, I invite you to think about that. Are you covenanted with Crown Hill? Or are you consuming what we have to offer? I like the music, I like the preaching, I'm just going to take it and receive it. Or are you seeing Crown Hill as a family? Now, we want to be a church family, but are you in it because you're a part of the body of Christ? Or are you in it just because you were born here? Or do you have, and you have the mentality that no matter what this person does or what you do, you're always going to be a part of the Crown Hill family because you were born here. People need to choose, opt in to be a part of the Crown Hill family. If you don't become Crown Hill by birth. You don't become Mennonite by birth. It's not just a family like that. It's a church family, which means we're a family by our mutual commitment to Christ. And if the mutual commitment to Christ isn't there, then we don't see ourselves as that family. Or do you see Crown Hill as a contract, as a business? That is, if there's something that happens at Crown Hill that you disagree with, maybe even one of those resolutions I talked about earlier with Israel-Palestine or unending war or forbearance or all these other things, I don't agree with that. I'm going to look for a church that I do agree with. And that happens a lot. And I pray that doesn't happen with any of you guys. But if it's contractual, based just on the rules and the laws, then you're going to be bouncing around from church to church for a long time because you're going to find a church that lines up with you. You know, there are options. There's a lot of options out there. You'll find one that lines up with you for a couple months, maybe even a year. Then you'll find something you don't like about that church and you'll say, I'm going to find one that doesn't break my contract. Are you covenanted with Crown Hill? And that was, as I think about this last week, I think that's my disappointment with what happened. Is that nothing happened in my spirit or my discernment, and this is very fresh, that I sensed was enough for us to break covenant. We're flirting with it, but I don't think we're at a point where we need to break covenant. I think we're at a point where we really need to pray and we need to say we need to not waste this crisis and we need to figure out what we're going to do and we need to find a way forward and we need to get excited about the future we could have together. Now, had some of those resolutions gone the different way, I could have seen that as a breach in covenant, and then we'd have to evaluate. But for me and the elders, and if you feel differently, talk to the elders. We want to hear from you. But I think we are still covenanted with Ohio Conference. We are still covenanted with Mennonite Church USA. And so we have this relationship. And so even though some things are happening that we don't agree with and we're not on board with, we're still covenanted. And the violation hasn't been to a point where it's necessary to, quote-unquote, divorce from the people that we've made a covenant with. But we certainly don't want to sit by and do nothing and say, oh, you can do what you want and we'll do what we want and we're all happy together. That's not a covenant either. So are we covenanted individually to Crown Hill Mennonite Church? Think about that. Pray about that. Are you covenanted? Are you committed here to this body? And then think about, are we as a church covenanted sufficiently with Ohio Conference? And we have myself and Keith that are on the leadership team, and so you have like a straight line to the leadership, right? You can talk to either one of us, and we'd love to hear from you. You guys have a unproportionately loud voice or influential voice than anyone else in the conference. Take advantage of it if you want. But I think the bottom line here, and what I'll just conclude with, is that this is part of who we are. And even before this, you might have been completely ignorant of it, and you might be wishing that you're still ignorant of it. You're part of it. And so my encouragement is for you guys to pray about this, pray for the conference, pray for the denomination, and think, what is God calling me to do? Maybe He's calling you to renew your covenant at Crown Hill, and maybe that's the step it is. Maybe He's calling you to do something within the conference. Maybe something within the denomination. And maybe it's local. We don't know. But pray about your covenant. Are you covenanted with Crown Hill? It's a relationship and it's rules and laws. It's all together. Because that's what the body of Christ is. A group of people that have come together and made that covenant and said, we are going to be this family by choice. Let's pray. Dear God, this is a different message. We didn't look at a specific text of your word, but Lord, we looked at your body, your broken body, your torn body, your confusing body. And Lord, we're a part of that. So Lord, as we pray and as we discern, I pray that you would show us the way forward. And Lord, show us what you want for Ohio Conference, what you want for Crown Hill, what you want for Mennonite Church USA. Because Lord, we know that as your body, you have plans for us. And you know that as your body, you want to be using us to reach the world, to be showing other people your hope. So get us to a place where we can be effective in that ministry, where we can be bringing people into your family. Lord, we know that's what you want. And Lord, I pray that you would make our desire here at Crown Hill. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.